So in the summer of 2017, just a little over 2 years ago, I read a book entitled, What is the Bible? It's a book that was authored by a gentleman named Rob Bell. He's known for writing and speaking. He's known for challenging people to think about life and ministry. And truth be told, he offends a good number of people. And I thought it important to read his book. And so I did. And I found that Rob and I agree on more than one thing. And the first thing that we agree upon is that we believe that people who follow Jesus need to have an understanding of the sweeping story of the Scriptures. Amen? Yeah, we need to do that. He followed that quickly by saying, do you know something else? That often people get bogged down in details. We get frustrated. We get bored. And we miss the point. And I had to say, amen, Rob. I represent that remark. How many people here represent that? Yeah, we do. We get bored. We get bogged down. We miss the sweeping story of the Scriptures. But I don't want us to miss the sweeping story of the Scriptures. And that's why this morning we're beginning a series that will go on for the next 3 weeks from today entitled Broad Brushstrokes of the Bible. And in it, what I'd like us to gain is an understanding of God's story and our story, and how they intersect. What I want us to gain is an appreciation for who God is and how God made us. And you might say to me, well, John, that's a great idea, but you know, there's a lot of material in the Bible. How are we going to do this in 4 weeks? Well, I'd like you to think about it in one of two ways. Think about it as taking a trip up to the observation deck of the Empire State Building in New York City. How many of you have ever been there? Okay? And when you go there, you go up to the top, to the observation deck, and you look out, and you get to see how the city's put together. You see the streets and the avenues, the parks, the bridges, the waterways. If you look down, you can see the buses and the taxis and the people scurrying around, but you don't hear all the conversations. You don't hear the blare of the horns of the taxis. You don't hear the drone of the buses. It's like you take a step back and you can see it all fitting together and working together. Maybe another way to understand it is to think about a musical, a Broadway production. In the beginning, as the curtain opens, Act 1, Scene 1, begins to introduce all the different characters. And that's what I'd like us to do. I'd like us to take a look at the various acts and scenes of the Scriptures. There are four major acts to the story of Jesus and salvation. It doesn't begin with salvation. It begins with creation and then goes to something called the fall and then redemption. But the story doesn't end there. It moves on to restoration. Make no mistake about it. The story begins in a garden and it ends in a city. And so I would like us to take a look at this story together. And so I passed out those passages of Scripture. If you still need one, let the folks who have them know and you'll pass some more down the aisle. I'd like us to read this together this morning. And as we read, to listen for three things. What God says, what God does and what God sees. And so I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able, to turn and face each other. And if you're in the back, you can choose how to do that. And I'd like you to hear Scripture being read to one another. Listen to God's Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in it and through it, you are revealed to us. So, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds. Help us to learn from you. And cause us to sit with you and to wonder, to learn, and to grow in you. For this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so I'd like us to think a bit about God in creation. Now, it's tempting to approach Genesis like we approach other things in our lives. We come with all of our varied experiences. We come with all of our varied educational backgrounds. We come with everything that someone else has told us, with theories, with explanations. And when we do, we can miss key elements. We can miss main points. I wanted you to read the scriptures this morning so that you could sit with the scriptures. Quietly observe and listen. Because when we listen and observe, we can see a lot in the scriptures. It was that famous baseball philosopher Yogi Berra who once said, you can see a lot when you observe. And sometimes we need to go back to the scriptures and simply sit and observe. There are a lot of references to God in that first chapter, aren't there? What God said, what God did, and what God saw. God is the main character in Act 1, Scene 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God had already existed. God was separate and apart, distinct from the creation. God forms it. God shapes it. And the Holy Spirit was there. Did you catch that? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. If you were to read the opening chapter of the Gospel of John, or the opening chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, you would also see that not only was God there, the Spirit was there, and so was Jesus. That blows your mind a little bit, doesn't it? We need to come back and look at that someday, but not today. As we read through this chapter, we see that God is powerful. God's power is behind all the force of creation. God is the master builder, the master architect, the master mason, the master designer, the master artist. God is present when the creation begins. It was formless and void. But God was present. And God begins to shape and mold as the Spirit is hovering. God speaks, and God spoke into existence the light, the day, and the night. God spoke, and the waters separated and formed the seas. God spoke, and the sky and the dry land were created. God spoke, and there were seed-bearing plants and fruit-bearing trees. God spoke, and the sun, moon, and the stars came into existence in the heavens. God spoke, and the creatures in the water and in the sky and on the land appeared. God spoke, and there was a great display of diversity and color and shapes and textures. Think about it for a second. The kangaroo and the camel. The maple trees and the oaks, the redwoods, the sequoia. God spoke, and there was fresh water and salt water. There were plants and vines. And if you didn't believe God had a sense of humor, there's the penguin. And if you have to go further, the duck-billed platypus, right? God created. God speaks and God acts with purpose. And within all this diversity, there was design. You see, the light and the darkness of day one became the realm of the sun, the moon, and the stars on day four. The waters in the sky of day two became the realm for the fish and the birds on day five. The dry land of day three with all the plants and the trees became the realm of the animals and of humanity. And so without looking at any outside theories or explanations, there are some very interesting observations that reveal who God is. God is powerful. God is present. God is purposeful. God speaks things into existence. We see what God does, what God sees, what God says. And the emphasis isn't on how God did it. He speaks it into existence. The emphasis is on what God did. And every day there was a performance appraisal. And God saw that it was good. And on the sixth day, when God created the crowning creature, humanity, it was very good. It was very good. When we know God's story, we begin to understand and make sense of our stories. Let's take a look at humanity and creation. In Genesis 1, as we sat with it, we learn a great deal about God, and I can't cover everything that's there in the time that I have this morning. But as we look into Genesis chapter 2, we begin to see even more about God and more about humanity. Did you see the major shift there at the end of chapter 1 that we read? That it moved from being all focused around what God did, humanity came into existence. Within God's creative purpose, humanity was created. Male and female, in God's image, and we're blessed. Do you ever think about that? We are blessed by God. The focus shifts from the large view of creation to the story of humanity. Some people would argue that there are two creation accounts, two creation stories, and I want to argue against that and say it's one. It moves from the global to the specific, to the story of humanity and the responsibility that is given to us by God. You see, humanity was created to live in relationship and community. If you took a look at chapter 2, verse 18, you'll see where God says, "It was not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable help for him." Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament scholar, takes up this phrase and says that there needed to be a fresh creative act, just as stunning and unpredicted as the previous emergence of man. Woman was created from man. They belong together. Marriage was established. And the man and the woman become a community of solidarity, of trust, and of well-being. It's incredible. Somehow together, we reflect the image of God. We are a complex, diverse lot. We come in many varieties. We come in different sizes. We come in different shapes. We come in different colors. And somehow together, in community, we reflect the image of Almighty God. We reflect who God is as we create, as we think, as we choose, as we decide, as we act. And God has given us responsibility. God has given us work to do, to be fruitful, to increase, to fill the earth, to subdue it, to rule over it. We were created to do work, to be co-creators with God. Isn't that cool? That stuns me. We're created to be co-creators with God, to develop creation, to care for it. God gave permissions and prohibitions to establish boundaries in the good creation for our good. And out of this, culture begins to appear and pop up. And then I'm always amazed at the last verse of chapter 2. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Adam and Eve were both naked. That probably got your attention. They felt no shame. We were created shame-free. Yet we live in a world, we live in a culture where we feel that shame, don't we? Lewis Smedes, an author, ethicist, and theologian, wrote a book entitled Shame and Grace. And in it, he says this: shame is a very heavy feeling, a feeling that we don't measure up. You may have heard of Brené Brown. Brené Brown is a professor at the University of Houston. She's famous for her role in TED Talks. And in writing about shame and researching shame, she says this: "I define shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Ouch. She goes on to say, it's something we've experienced, done, or failed to do that makes us unworthy of connection. That's not how we were created. We were created in God's image, shame-free. We were created in God's image to rule, to preserve, to bring out the goodness of creation. And yet our culture, with its focus on the individual, makes it hard for us to focus on what it means to be good stewards and managers of God's good and generous creation. And yet that's the role that's entrusted to us. When we know God's story, we begin to understand, figure out how we fit in our story. You might at this point be saying, so what? What does this all mean? So what does this all mean? The story of creation sets the stage for our understanding. It helps us to have a basic understanding of who God is. It helps us to have a basic understanding of how God created us and why God created us. And why God's put us in this world, entrusted to care for the creation. As people living in the 21st century, we are confronted with some great misunderstandings and negative messages about who God is. We hear people say, God is not all-powerful. God is not present and active. God is not creative and generous. God does not speak. Makes me wonder. We just read in Genesis 1 and the first part of Genesis 2 that God does all those things. So what would be what would happen if we began to consider some of these messages of the culture in a different way? What if we said, if God is all-powerful, what does that mean when I face a situation, or when we face a situation in which we feel powerless? If God is present and active, what does that mean for the way that we think and think about and treat others? Family, friends, colleagues, at work and at school, and even those people with whom we disagree. If God is creative, what does that mean for the way that we approach challenges and problems in our lives? And if God speaks, are we listening? Will we take the time? Will we make the time to listen, to think, to reflect, and to respond? When we know God's story, we begin to understand and make sense of our stories. Just like a Broadway musical, the story of the broad brushstrokes of the Bible opens with Act 1, Scene 1. The sweeping story is our story. It's God's story, and we get to be in it. It's a story about God creating with power, with beauty, with love, and with an intended design. It's a world in which we get to live. It's a world in which we get to enjoy all the good gifts. It's a world in which we get to live in relationship with one another. It's a world in which we get to exercise joyful responsibility. As people who together in community bear God's image, how will we respond? May we be people who know God's story and begin to understand and make sense of our stories to the glory of God. May it be so. Will you pray with me?